The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
They were like, put it up against your window at a hotel. You know, so of course I try it at a hotel and put it on. It's just a noise machine, guys.
Just a white noise machine. That's amazing.
It was terrible, all of it. And I mean, the technology behind it and the whole bit. I mean, they gave updates. They did the whole bit. But I mean, this was just a cheap noise machine, guys. So, yeah.
Everyone's got their thing. Two episodes left, guys. Welcome to the Fanatics Podcast, the Dexter episodes. I am one of your hosts. My name is not just Teddy Reed, who doesn't appear in this episode, sadly, but I am David Magadoff, as well as my co-host, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. And you know what? I think Teddy was in the station. He was just getting some coffee. He was refreshing the coffee.
Technically, Teddy was in this episode, but me and Esther were having a little time. I got my little Santa hat on, having a good holiday spirit. But like many moments in the show and every television show ever created, things do get cut. And so we were left on the cutting room floor.
Oh.
But I get to enjoy it as a pure fan. I'm technically in the recap if you see me too. So I'm there. I'm always there. Teddy is always.
You're omnipresent. Always you are.
Omnipresent. but this is a hell of an episode. It was. I read all the episodes from the beginning, and it's so fun because it's been at least 6, 7, 8 months since I've last read it, and it really does get this feeling inside of me of like, oh, I'm watching it for the first time. I'd have totally forgot that happened. This is cool. So this is a really fun thing to do with you because I really genuinely am full on fan. Even though I technically know where it's going, I really do get to geek out. And by the way, before we get even more into this episode, guys, Alano Miller, Logan, yes, Detective
yes.
Logan himself, a dear friend of mine now, he is going to be with us this episode talking about the future of tech, all the wonderful things there. You know him from Jane the Virgin, Cherish the Day, Halt and Catch Fire, Loving, Damages, Sylvie's Love, so much good stuff. We'll get to him in a bit, but Claire, take us into episode 8.
Well, first of all, you mentioned Logan, and I'm waiting for the Logan character. I feel like the final two episodes, he is really going to partner with Chief Bishop and really dig in. Now, we saw Chief Bishop, the focus wasn't her, but we did see her uncover the ketamine sort of reoccurring injury amongst these victims that she's seeing, the shot in the neck, the poke in the neck. And that's obviously leading her to the Bay Harbor Butcher and digging deeper with Dexter Morgan. So I think Logan and her are going to sort of partner up for the last two episodes to create, you know, the perfect team of investigative, you know, goodness against Dexter Morgan. However, this episode focused, well, there was the trifecta of partners. There was, you know, Chief Bishop and whomever she was speaking to. Then, of course, we had Kurt and Harrison partner yes. up in this episode. And then we had Elric, right? And Dexter, Jim Lindsay, Dexter Morgan. All right. It was a crazy episode from the very second where we see Dexter in the back of the truck. And you know he's, you know, restrained. But what I didn't know initially was that what he was dreaming about, which was Harrison, you know, beating up and killing the other two high school wrestlers, getting, you know, they came to get their revenge on him and he turned against them. I didn't know that was a dream. Did you right away?
Here's the thing. I was living in the same place that Sandy Bookstaver, who directed this episode in episode 7, mm-hmm. we had on as well during the Jamie Chung episode. Go back and listen to Sandy talk all about episode 3, guys. But Sandy was like, hey, come check this out. And I got to watch this cut that he was so proud of this scene, this all-in-one-shot scene where Harrison is now taken over in his cabin by the Moose Creek wrestling team, and he starts to slice and dice them up. And that was for episode 7, and it was a dream sequence for Harrison.
Okay.
This is what originally it was. And it didn't make it into episode 7 because they're moving things around, because why not, and post-production shit goes down. And they clearly made it a fun moment in episode 8 where it was a dream for old Dexter Morgan. And I thought that was a very interesting choice.
That is an interesting choice. The fact that it was a dream for Harrison first and then got moved over to a dream for Dexter is very interesting, because I thought the violence in it was pretty extreme. You know, I mean, Harrison was not holding back. I actually, as a viewer, was like covering my eyes and like, oh my gosh, like I'm definitely one of those people who I love every, you know, gore and violence and all that in cinema. But I am a cover-eyer person. So I was like, this is pretty extreme. However, knowing that it was originally Harrison's dream makes it even more extreme, because we haven't seen him, other than breaking the arm, exhibit that level of aggression and violence yet. So it was a good recap to the end of the episode where Dexter's like, son, I'm going to tell you everything. You never have to feel alone with your dark passenger. And Harrison, like, immediately, that so touching moment where he just hugs him in the car.
Yeah, that was a really sweet moment to end on. It really was. I know what's upcoming in the show. And I was like, wait, is that how it ends? Or is there something else? And I was like, oh, no, we're just ending on this sweet moment. But more things happen. no spoiler alert. It's just me saying there's more plot, everyone. but I loved the tension between Kurt and Harrison this whole episode, because it's been so long that I even forgot exactly. I remember Kurt does try to take Harrison's life, but I forgot when it happened. And I was like, did it happen during the baseball time? And him getting pelted and Harrison having his own issues. It really was such a gripping, I was feeling on the edge of my seat moment watching this, that really kind of went up my spine a little bit. They both play it so nicely and it's done so eloquently, and you just don't know when the
right
going to drop.
Well, I mean, up until the very end, I will say this. When the baseball scene happened and he didn't, like, first of all, that machine was very aggressive, I thought. I've never seen, maybe I'm just not, I haven't, my kids haven't gotten to that level of, you know, but our, like, automatic, you know, pitch machines are not that crazy. So I thought that was like, and I'm like, it looked like a meat chopper where maybe like a Fargo was going to happen. Like he was going to like feed him in there or something. That was just me projecting my love of cinema onto each other, you know.
But Claire, I think you nailed it. And that's what they want us to do. You know, yeah. That's what the director and the writers wanted us to feel. They want us to feel like, is this going to be a weapon?
Right.
Is Kurt going to slam his face into a trophy case? Is what, like, you just kept waiting for, like, when's that shoe
right.
gonna drop?
And then when it didn't happen and they go and they're going to the cabin, and like, you actually, at first when he gave him the whiskey, I was like, this can't be good, you know?
Did he poison it?
Yeah. And there's a bottle of Jack Daniels back there. So I'm like, I don't think that's the whiskey he's feeding him. I think he's like giving him a single malt or something. But anyway.
No wine spritzer.
Right. No wine spritzer. And when they're eating, and then I'm thinking, I actually thought, you know, I really think that Kurt is going to like adopt Harrison. Like he's taking what he wanted in Matt and he's completely molding this malleable young man into a new son for him, a son that he can share, you know, his dark passenger with, or his dark side with, or, you know, whatever. So when he came out in full on, you know, white camo mode with the mask, I was like, no, I don't think that's what's supposed to happen right now. I was shocked, actually, because
Because it's so sincere. Clancy's playing it so sincerely. Kurt is being so sincere. And you're starting to understand. You're going, where are the lines being blurred here, right?
It's like, I just felt like he was investing too much to a relationship with Harrison and trying to recreate that Matt scenario with Harrison. You know what I mean? From looking at the trophies to the baseball scene to, you know, having the venison, whatever. So it really came as a shock to me. I don't know. I was shocked.
You know what was going down essentially was that he was just trying to kill time. He was trying to kill time because he really wanted Dexter to be there to see him kill his son. And All it was him just killing time. And that's essentially, but he played the part really well and was just trying to keep him endeared and that he wouldn't run away and would stay with him and just kept loving on him. What a fucker.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Meanwhile, Dexter's giving, you know, Elrich this Irish smile, which was like, so hard to see, you know? And then I loved when the actor who played Elrich actually stopped in the snow and was like packing the snow onto his face. I'm like, you know what? That's a nice moment. That's a nice moment for him.
Wouldn't it hurt? It's like, yeah, that would hurt. I'm glad he put some ice on there. That's what I would do.
I think, Tommy Flanagan, who was on Sons of Anarchy, he actually has a real Irish smile. From a knife fight. And I never asked him about it, but I always wanted to because that's such a crazy injury, you know? Anyway, moving on, Dexter did bring a knife fight to a gunfight, and Dexter did win with the knife, not surprisingly. However, once he plows into the scene with Harrison and Kurt just kind of like runs away, I was like, wait, what? That's it? He's like just running away into the woods. I was surprised that there wasn't more of a moment between the three of them, and also surprised that Dexter and Harrison just kind of like stood there like, well, I guess he's gone. Okay, let's get back in the truck. I wanted more sense of urgency right there.
Yeah, I also was watching that too going like, oh, I forgot again. I don't remember. I was like, does Dexter jump in the car and drive off and try to run him down? And I think in that moment,
you see the gun get run over initially when he's like going towards Kurt, like drops the gun or something. But then just to see Kurt like run into the woods, I was like, surely he's got like an AK-47 back there or something hidden and he's going to unload on these two. So they need to get out.
Well, maybe it's that feeling again of like they're serial killers. They're not, you know, mass murderers. They're not coming up with, you know, terrorist style plans. So in his mind, he's just like, he's got his own quirky little world and his little kill cabin and the way he knows how to get these people. So let me just save my son. And I have my son and now I have the closest thing to me. I don't want to let him get away again. I don't need to chase anybody. But, you know, see what happens. Because clearly, I certainly would hope that we would see some sort of conclusion of some regard. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. There has to be.
He just ran away.
I mean, actually, so I was thinking about this as well during this episode, because usually when Dexter was a 12 episode series in the original run, you know, episode 7, 8, and sometimes bled into 9 were kind of like filler episodes. You know what I mean? But I really like the 10 episode format, I think, for this type of storytelling, because we're not having to endure sort of those filler episodes that don't really advance the plot, you know? So here I am 8 episodes in, and I'm actually wondering, okay, there's a lot to be tied up in the last 2 episodes, but I think that that's the appropriate amount of time to tie it up in, not 3 or 4 episodes. So anyway, I like the choice that everybody made with making this a 10 episode series versus 12.
I think you're going to enjoy the next 2 episodes, Claire.
I know I am.
Some very, really fun things.
I still haven't seen Kurt's, what do I want to call it? Circle of Dead. You know, in the caves. I'm still hoping that my prediction
all
on that
ladies
is right.
Well, remember, Clyde Phillips is on record for saying that episode 10 will break the internet. So let's see what happens there.
What does that mean?
You know, if I said any more, then the internet would break today. And we need to wait at least 2 more episodes before we all break it. Kim Kardashian can break the internet. Technically, the term breaking the internet means so much downloading and streaming and talking on the internet it will overwhelm the universe that is all the web data hosting and Amazon clouding of the internet. And
okay, well, I'm into it.
That is what he is prognosticating. That's if a pretty that, tall order, huh?
It sure is, but I'm in. I believe him. Okay, so one more little piece of business to tie up here with episode 8. And really, this was episode 7 and sort of bled into episode 8. Kurt's father, do you believe he was that he ever killed anyone? We know he didn't kill Iris. That was Kurt. You know what I mean? But do you believe he had the dark passenger? Kurt is blaming him for his own actions, obviously, and using him and the you know, 37% DNA or 36% DNA match to write off his own guilt. But do you actually think that Kurt grew up with a horrible role model of a father who was also had a dark passenger?
If I remember correctly, Claire, didn't they show in that same episode where we see that younger Clancy, the younger Kurt, if you will, don't we see a flashback of like an actual kid Kurt Caldwell with his father kind of beating up a woman in the back of a truck? So I do think his actual dad was a fucktard pig.
Is he of the level of Dexter and Kurt? Or is he just like an abuser?
He could have just been like a drunk who just beat up on women, which is pretty bad in itself. But, you know, how bad he was, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know. But he was clearly not a good guy.
Right.
Not one of the good ones.
Not a NG. No good.
But speaking of the one of the good ones, we have on today one of the great ones, Alano Miller. I got to be quote unquote roommates with him. We were put in a dressing room together towards maybe 2/3 of the way in once because they just needed some extra space. And then when we had extra space, we were like, no, let's just stay together. And then we just hung out and it was just fun to have a buddy. And we realized that we live 3 miles away from each other in Los Angeles and hang out with his wonderful, a beautiful wife, DeWanda Wise, who you can see in a previous episode talking about supermarkets.
Yes, I love DeWanda.
And Alano is so terrific in this role as Logan, and I think everyone's just been enjoying him. I hope you can act. They actually made on Spotify a breakup playlist. an actual Logan's breakup playlist. So if you want to actually go listen to it, I think that's amazing. And he loves Boys to Men and some other wonderful things that are actually on the playlist. So there's a lot of meta things happening. But today he speaks with us about his love of technology and the future of technology. So speaking of breaking the internet, shall we continue?
Absolutely. We hope you enjoy this episode with Alano.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alano, it's hilarious and wonderful and feels like kismet that today, as we are speaking, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp is all down.
And so today we talk about the future of tech. How do you think, how do you feel about this?
It's all a part of the grand plan. No. That's actually perfect timing, if I may say so myself.
What do you mean perfect timing? What does that mean to
Well, I mean, we're talking about tech, and of course, then tech fails. And, you know, we've been having a bit of a battle with tech right now, especially in the social media area. So to see it kind of like fall apart for a day, it's a good thing, I think.
Okay, I like
it. Well, it's not the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last time. but let's just pause the conversation for 1 second. How do you define technology?
I would say something that is outside of our human makeup, that affects our social, our economic, our mental, emotional, physical well-being, how we exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So like that could literally be, in your mind, a shovel to a computer?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the reality is that technology, it always takes something to make something, right? And so we are now in this space where we are, you know, really diving all in on tech in every facet that we can think of in our lives. And sometimes they're so massive that we only think of the big ones, but they're the tiny ones that, you know, that affect us that we don't actually think about. And we use them every day. And that could be simple as a toaster or a coffee maker. I mean, those are massive things that are affecting us in some shape or form.
So what gets you going with it? Like, what is it the thing that gets you excited about the future?
I just think that we're in the right time. It's very interesting. It's like, man, you think about the time. There was no video games, no smartphones. You can't, there's no such thing as Alexa or Siri. You know, you're talking about being able to communicate in such ways. Just think about our health industry. Think about the way food is being made. You know, there's just so many facets at this point where it has an umbrella, you know, dealing with health or dealing with entertainment or, you know, it's just so much. I mean, think about like basketball, for instance. You know, I love the fact that LeBron James will probably be like 50 years old and will still be able to play. And that only takes, you know, that's technology, to being able to know the science of that more, where we didn't know that before. And that's really cool to see where we will be in the next 30, 40, 50 years. And of course, there's some downside, of course. There's always a flip side of the coin. But I just think there's more positivity than there is negativity when it comes to tech. And that's exciting.
Well, when you consider your definition and sort of like how you just explained it, it seems like it's a network of knowledge sharing that didn't exist before. And that knowledge sharing enables everyone from medical profession to athletes to a student to access knowledge that was not accessible 20 or 30 years ago before the advent of, you know, the cataloging systems like the internet, right? So where, what is the future? What, how do we expound on that?
Wow.
Small question.
And, you know, no pressure, but I just, you know, what is the next step? You know, obviously, like, Apple just came out with, like, the Apple tag, you know, the fobs, and there's things happening, but, like, what's the next big idea in tech? Is it just more cataloging and a cleaner system? Is it something that we have not thought of yet?
Well, I hope it's something we haven't thought of yet. That's the exciting part. Who wants to just do things that we've kind of, you know, I want to expand. I want to see how far we can go. I mean, I think right now the future is, unfortunately, right now the future is kind of controlled by humans. And that is a good and a bad thing. In that, you know, humans, we tend to manipulate information that we put into our systems. And therefore, it can create separation, more disenfranchisement, it can create more racism, it can create all these other social things that can polarize us as a society. I mean, obviously disinformation, obviously all that is doing that. But I think where we are, say, for instance, in medical field, right? You have nanotech and you have the ability with AR and VR, which allows our medical doctors to or students to learn how to do real world things without actually physically being there. I mean, think about how this pandemic has affected us. You know, more people are doing things through Zoom or FaceTime or whatever in connecting with their medical professionals. You're talking about CRISPR, for instance. That's huge for cancer. Just being able to edit genes and to understand. We're just really diving into some spaces. I mean, there even is this place right now where people have figured out, some doctors have tried to figure out how to make life, you know, longer. And you know, that is exciting.
So they say the person who's going to live to be 150 is already alive. But you bring up a really interesting point because you said, like, humans are problematic in their thought because they're, you know, there's an objective and a subjective point of view and there's emotions that come into. But we're the ones who create the and program the technology. So how do you factor that? How do you make AI devoid of the human, the X factor, the human factor?
I wish I knew how that would be the case. I'm honestly, it's like, do you, even if you put a perfectly diverse panel, you know, age-wise, color-wise, religious-wise, all those things, I still don't think that we have the ability to separate our personal, our political agendas just as a whole, because we are inundated with information and points of views, and we're constantly being told what to think. You know, we don't have a lot of leaders in our world. We have a lot of followers, unfortunately, but that isn't always a bad thing. There is good and bad to every side of the coin. So I don't know that answer, to be honest with you.
And you know what? I think it's a good point that now that we have technology, we're aware of how many leaders and how many followers. I don't necessarily think that percentage has changed over the centuries. I think that now it's just, you know, cataloged, as we were saying. Anyway.
But we like that, though. That's like the technology. Like, we like that. We like kind of being told, you know, just think about
it's data.
Yeah, but think about, like, Instagram. You're on Instagram, and then all of a sudden you get that advertisement for that random thing. And you know what? For some people, they're like, I don't like that. That's weird. And for a lot of other people, they're like, I'm so happy that it knows what I like and what I want. And so it's catering to them. And that's the dilemma that we're in right now.
Okay, Alano, you ever looking over at someone's computer and you see what's being direct advertised to them and you're like, whoa. I've seen like some stuff come up on a colleague's computer and I'm like, oh, I should not be looking at that. Anyway, mine's yoga pants. That's what they market to me, David and Alano.
Listen, I like what I like, Claire, and I'll share with you what if you want to know, I'll just tell you what it is. You don't have to keep looking over my shoulder. If I like Spanx, I like Spanx, okay? My legs look good in them. So
they do.
Alano, thank you, Alano.
I can't weigh in on that, David. Sorry.
Alano, you clearly like the future of tech in the way that it helps advance society and is a good thing for people and makes people better. And that's clearly what I'm getting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So how often are you probably downloading, if I could use the term, future of tech stuff? Are you listening to podcasts every day? Are you looking at Twitter every day? Instagram? Would you say it's a weekly thing? Like, how often are you going?
Oh, every day. Every day I'm looking at something. I'm reading an article. I don't like to do Instagram or Twitter or that kind of thing because it goes down a different type of rabbit hole that I don't really want to indulge in. But I do love reading. And so I basically, you know, go to certain sites that I know that are reputable and will actually give me more insight or make me want to go down certain rabbit holes of our future that are exciting. I mean, I want to tell people, you know, everyone's thinking like, oh my gosh, we're going to have flying cars. And I'm like, no, we're not going to have flying cars in our time, you know, of being on Earth, unless we get extended in life in 150 years, then yes, maybe, who knows. But right now, you know, it's really hard to get a pilot's license. So 330 million people getting a pilot's license doesn't seem feasible at this point. But anyway, like, I really enjoy reading where we are, the possibilities of where we could go. And it's very exciting. And of course, you know, I think the thing is that it's also the thing that we're all afraid of, you know, whether we want to admit that or not. People are afraid of technology because they can't control it. You know, they don't really understand it.
But that's life too, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you fear about technology?
That it gets into the wrong hands. You know, that it's being used not for our good, but for to push an agenda that will continue to separate us. You know what I mean? It becomes about being able to understand that we're all interconnected. So the more that we continue to remove that, the ability to meet each other, to see each other, to feel each other, that part does, you know, make me afraid, because I don't want us to become a society where we separate ourselves and we just live in our own little apartments and we have our food and our things from Amazon being shipped in, but we never step outside and we never have that, you know, interaction where you can hug or have a nice dinner together. I mean, you have Facebook now being able to, they're trying to create this other space where people can now go to meetings, but you're an avatar. You know, that's that's the space. Everyone is trying to separate us from each other. And I don't want that. I want us to continue to be in each other's lives. You know what I mean?
Speaking of the avatar thing, is there something you've read or listened to recently that you're like, this is cool? Is there something you want to share with us, like just of a recent discovery, or you're like, what?
Right now, it's in the medical field. You know, I'm really big into cancer because of my father passed from cancer as well as my brother. And so, you know, and also a dear friend of mine in Chadwick. And so it's just one of those things where it's like, I want to understand it more and to see what they're developing, what's the new what. And so right now, to see that, you know, a couple of people have been cured of AIDS or people who have, you know, fought stage 4 cancer and survived because of some technology. That stuff is very exciting for where we are and where we could be in our lifetimes as we get older. That right now is the cool stuff.
Okay, so that's a really good point, because you're talking about, you know, medical cures. How do you separate? To me, it's about the doctor being creative and using their intellect and then utilizing technology such as, you know, the scans or the whatever machines. So it's kind of like, it's not technology and it's not just the human. It's the combination of having those two things meet at the perfect moment with this one person to affect change. What do you think about that?
I think that you're spot on. I think that's why they're developing more and more systems, affordable systems, actually, that allow, you know, the consumer, the patient, to be mm-hmm. in more control and to have more insight. I think this is the perfect time to have more insight about your body, whether it's DNA testing. They have a, what's that company? I think it's Forward, the name of that, you know, where you can walk in, put your hand on it, and it kind of tells you more about your body. And that's...
I don't want to know about that company.
Claire goes to Backward.
Okay. It's a different company. I just, you know, like, there's just certain companies that are giving you more insight about your body and, you know, to prepare for the future. And I think that's really exciting. But yes, it's going to take... I think it's going to take technology to infiltrate more in our college areas, you know, people who are getting their doctorates in those fields and being able to utilize it more. Like, for instance, Halo, which is a lens from, you know, Microsoft, being able to be in those kind of, use that type of technology to understand more things. And the more that we add technology to these programs, the more that we're going to prepare our these students who will be then doctors for the future. Because there's a lot of things that we will never be able to understand. I mean, look at, a lot of people actually did point out COVID was coming, but the point is that it's here. And so, you know, some would say we are very blessed that we are in a time where they could develop a vaccine, however we want to feel about that. The point is that they could develop it in such a quick way that it can have a positive effect on our lives to hopefully get back to some form of normal. Whatever we want to call that now.
Alana, would you say the Apple keynote address that they give however many times a year now is small fries to you in the way that you get new information? Or are you like, no, that's still a pretty big deal?
I love Apple. You know, I used to work for Apple, more like not in the corporate side, but mainly at the store kind of thing. I love what the company is trying to do, especially with privacy and working on that, especially in the health arena. But yeah, that's small fries. It's not a big deal to me at all. You know, I don't care about the new whatever they're releasing because they're going to release another one in the next 3 or 4 months. And that's kind of how they roll.
It's been watered down because they have to keep updating the iPhone every year, so you can't keep releasing a new iPhone.
Look, they if they wanted to drop the hammer, Apple could always drop the hammer. But, you know, they like to tease and give little things here and there. But if they wanted to change, like massively change society, they could at the drop of a dime.
Well, they're what I consider like consumer technology.
Yes.
You know, they're in a different business than sort of like the technology that's going to take us, enable us to travel to Mars or, you know, do a medical scan. You know what I mean? There's a place for everything. I mean, I guess, right? The consumer technology is just as important as medical technology and space technology. Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, think about gaming, for instance. Gaming has been considered to be better than meditation. It's been shown to help so many people through so much. Getting us through this pandemic, a lot of gaming went up, skyrocketed. And so that's one aspect. Obviously, content, you know, Data and I being in this business, it's, you know, everything is about content right now. That has given us creators more opportunities to, you know, put things out there that normally wouldn't be bought or even considered by networks and studios. I mean, it's just we're really in a different place because of technology. I mean, streaming is obviously exploded for us, and that is, you know, affected us in so many different ways. So I just the way that we will interact with humans is my only issue, really. And that means like in the sense of jobs, too. You know, people nowadays have stopped going to work, and there's a reason behind that. And where are we headed, and how do we curve, not going back to work, but how do we curve the...
I think that's where like the self-monitoring has to come into play. Like you know, as a child, you expect your parents to monitor for you, you know, the hours, the, you know, your activity, still factoring in, okay, yes, you can play on the computer, but you also have to go to sports or go outside and whatnot. But you know, when we turn 18, we lose that in our lives, you know, hypothetically, or some of us do, I guess. So as an adult and as a contributing member of society, you have to be able to self-monitor your own technology. It seems like it's a new skill that needs to be taught in a way.
I mean, that's why Apple puts that, you know, on your phone now. It tells you how long.
The screen report?
Yeah,
that's rude.
It's like,
well, let's skip that this week.
You've been on this app for 20 hours. Get off of this app. So, I mean, DeWanda, you know, my wife, she has a thing that like locks her out of Instagram at a certain point, you know, and tells her like, no, you're not allowed to go on. I mean, there's just so much.
That's cool.
Technology is good and bad.
What like thing coming out in the future, or maybe it's something, Alano, that you have thought of that you're like working on that gets you just like, yes, that is what I'm talking about. That is the future of tech.
Yeah, I think the future of tech, and David kind of already knows this, is you know, it's in that VR, AR world where it feels, you can feel, smell, taste, all the senses in one space. And you can travel anywhere in the world at any given time and experience whatever that is. And that is definitely going to be, that's already being developed. That's already being, content is already being made for that. And so that is kind of exciting to see where we're going, to say that like now I'm looking at you on the screen and being like, I can just put my glasses on and I could actually touch you like through the screen. That's kind of cool to have the, you know, to feel that, but never be that like next to you. That's an interesting thing. Or to be able to digest something, to taste the food, and then actually not be in your hand. Like all of that kind of stuff, that's a very interesting place to be. I don't know when, but it's coming out very soon. I do know that.
It's fewer calories.
Yeah.
It's fewer calories. I'll find a way to make it full calorie. Don't worry.
Because Claire, I was just reading today in just by chance saying that apparently Zuckerberg says in the next 5 years, his main focus for Facebook is to create a metaverse. So yeah, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's coming faster than you all could really, really imagine. Right? Whether we want to like it or not, it doesn't really matter. It's coming.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
But the interesting thing is for you, you know, I had ideas about what we're going to talk about. But for you, the allure of technology and especially where it's going is the human connection and the human interaction and expounding on that and not isolating, I guess. You know, I mean, the wonderful thing about the internet is you have people in remote areas who can connect with people anywhere in the world. For example, a teenager who is feeling like they're, you know, gay can now connect with someone if they don't have anyone in the small town through technology. But I didn't necessarily think that's what today's conversation was going to be about. But I feel like that's your love of it. And your passion is really like based in the human aspect, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think that I just feel like at this point in the game, that's our main, you know, gift. Is to, you know, we've been put on this earth to sharpen, to create, to debate, to inspire, to encourage, to motivate, to do all these things, to do all these great things. And to, we can't remove those aspects. You know what I mean? We need to learn. We all are innately sponges. And so we are constantly gathering information to make decisions, to know how to feel, what to eat next, all of that. And to be inspired about whatever new thing you want to cook or, you know, what new thing to, how to organize your room better or whatever simple thing. And I find all that fascinating. We didn't have that ability before. Now we do. And it's only going to get better and also get worse. I don't want to not stress that because there is always another side. And I don't want whoever's listening to think it's all roses in my head because it's not. I mean, there's obviously other sides of this that are very dangerous and scary. And I don't want to ever add fear or take away the fear. I just want people to be balanced and understanding that we do need to choose the moral side that will be not just best suited for our personal selves, but as a society as a whole.
We'll cut to a clip of iRobot at the end of this episode. Don't worry.
Oh, no robots.
We'll make sure everyone gets the yin and the yang. So have you ever, Alano, invested in a Kickstarter product? I actually did once.
Yes, I did. All,
to be fair, I want to explain to people on Kickstarter, if you have not been, there are constantly people in pretty cool ways that are saying, hey, I want to make this new bit of technology. I just need the funds to do it. You guys get to be the first people to buy it from me. How much would you like to invest? And often it's usually raised way more money than they're even asking. So have you ever put your funds into that?
Yes, one time and one time only. I learned. So there was this gadget that would allow you to basically, by the press of a button, if you and I were having a conversation across from each other at a, say, restaurant, I could put this in the center of our table and press it, and it would then allow us to be the only ones in the vicinity to hear each other or to kind of monitor the sound that comes into our conversation. So in a sense, it's kind of like a buffer. It kind of creates a sound barrier. And of course, I was like, this is going to be trash. I know it's going to be trash, but I'm going to try it out because I want to, exactly. And I've been always curious about this kind of thing. And we got it. Two came in. It came as a thing, two. And it just turned out to be a noise machine.
What I want to know, though, is what did you think it was going to do? Because my wife would kill for this because she hears everybody's conversation all the time. She can't stop it. She just hears everybody's. She just can pick up someone from 30 feet away. So I love this. I do want to know what it was advertising, though, that it would do differently, like the cone what's the cone of silence and right. Get smart or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it said that it would be able to, basically.
Like create a sound barrier.
Yeah, it just means to soften the sound so you don't hear as much, you know. So if a person person next to you is being extremely loud, you know, they can now soften the sound just a little bit. And I was like, I'm curious about this. It wasn't expensive, so I was very like, okay, whatever, let's try it. But I know it was. So then, of course, they were like, put it up against your window at a hotel. So, of course, I try it at a hotel and put it on. It's just a noise machine, guys.
Just a white noise machine. That's amazing.
It was terrible, all of it. And, I mean, the technology behind it and the whole bit. I mean, they gave updates. They did the whole bit. But, I mean, this was just a cheap noise machine, guys. So, yeah.
Have you ever been on set? Well, obviously, I can tell you from my experience with you, having done 6 months of our show, that you were an evangelizer in the best kind of way whenever because we're in these tents, we're freezing cold. Sometimes we actually got to be indoors. That was nice. And we would always learn something new every day from Alano in the best possible way. Have there ever been times where you've learned from somebody or like you've been on a set and somebody happened to know as much of you, or nope, you're pretty much the guy who always knows whatever is the first thing to know about.
Yeah, I don't really find too many people who actually know a lot about tech. I mean, you just think about the average person who uses a computer, right? They use it for what? Email, some pictures, music, possibly watch a couple of clips on, video. And then maybe write up a Word document. That's about as far as we go. So I was the guy who always fixed people's computers. I did it on our set a couple of times. People end up losing their data or something and the hard drive crashes, that kind of thing, or coding. So I don't really find too many people who get into that space. They don't want to know about flying cars or autonomy or, robots or any of that kind of stuff because a lot of people just don't believe in it. You know what I mean? So it's been a lot of fun to just kind of get people curious about technology.
How can someone not believe in a robot? Like, they're here. It's there's nothing to not believe in.
Amazon just released their little robot that goes around your house and that kind of thing, can take you a beer.
I mean, it started with Small Wonder many, many years ago. But no, I mean, really, what do you say to someone who's like, I don't believe in that?
I just say wait and see. You know what I mean? I don't have to. It'll be here whether you want it to be here or not. And it will be in your face whether you want that to be or not. I mean, unless you move to some remote woodsy area, but at this point, they're trying to remove that as a possibility. They want you to be always on the grid. And that's a part of the plan. And that, for me, is just kind of all interesting how it's. But I just say, just wait and see. I mean, it's already happening. I'm like, what do you think? Where do you think you're getting your McDonald's food from? It's some machine that's flipped your burger and put it in, in a bag and done the whole bit. I mean, this is the time that we're in. We're having a hard time transitioning. It'll take us some time.
Alano, I love one of your major whys, which makes my heart happy, is like, hey, people in my family, people very close to me, have passed on from cancer, and I'm really interested in the future breakthroughs that happen. And so that's a cool drive for you. You want to see how other people don't have to go through what your family went through and what other people went through. And that's a beautiful thing, and that makes me happy. Now, my other question is, where did it all start? Like, where did you first, did you remember being 11, 10, 9?
12.
Okay.
I was 12 years old. I had gotten my first computer, Mac, and my mom took me to this store that no longer exists called CompUSA.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, a version of Best Buy. And they were going out of business, and I didn't know that. But my mom, I got my teacher to talk my mom into getting me a laptop. And I was very excited because I knew my mother was a teacher as well. So, I mean, it's her, you know, coworker. So I knew I could, if he spoke up for me, then I'm getting this computer. So we walk into the CompUSA, and this gentleman says, hey, don't buy this computer. I have a version of this computer, but it's an open box. So it has not been taken out of. It's just been the box is open, and we're going to knock off $300 because we're going out of business and da-da-da. So, of course, my mom's eyes light up, and she's like, yeah, we're getting this computer. So I get home, and, of course, I go upstairs. I open it up. I smell the plastic kind of thing. And I go through it and everything else. And I turn it on. It makes that bong sound, you know, that Apple is known for. And I immediately turn it off. I flip it over. I run downstairs and go into my dad's toolbox. I grab all of his screwdrivers, a hammer, some other things, some tape. And I remember going upstairs, and then I opened the computer up and I took it apart completely. And I then put it back together because I was so nervous. I went too far. I put it back together. A couple bolts, obviously, I forgot to put away, put in there correctly. But it turned back on and it worked. And I think the reason why I did it at the time was because I just had to see why. I didn't understand the magic. I think a lot of people walk around and they forget how magical this is, that planes fly and that we go to the moon or Mars, or that we create satellites, or that we have all these cool things that we can use in our homes constantly, and their new updated versions and yada yada. That you and I can have this video chat, that I can do that on my computer, not just on my phone or my computer, but on my iPad, but also on my watch. Like, you can do so much now, and there's VR and graphics for an Xbox or a PlayStation. Like, what? This is all magical. And so at that point, I was like, I have to consume all things tech, because I felt like, you know, like Nintendo. You just, you know, you blow in the cartridge and you kind of smash it a little bit, and you know what I mean? Like, and these buttons that work, and you don't know why it moves the character. Like, someone thought of this, and there was coding, and there was thought process, and all of this to create a world that comes out of someone's brain. You know what I mean? And that is fascinating to see that go from, you know, nothing to 30, 40 years of tech that has exploded in a major way. I mean, think about all the car, like, everyone's used to driving their own car. The moment all of a sudden it was like they're creating taxis with no one in it driving around California, people are like, I'm not getting in that car. And then a lot of people are like, I absolutely want to get in that car and see what that experience is. Or the fact that you get on a train and there's no conductor. Like, this is all like mind-blowing, and no one, and everyone accepts it, but no one really explores, or like, there's no smile on your face that you can go and get this iPhone that's going to take pictures better, or, you know, tell you, you know, put it up against your wrist and it tells you what your blood pressure is, or like, all of that's what, who does that? Like, that's really dope, man. I mean, so why not think about technology? Because, you know, there's so much greatness that's in it.
I do think the blowing in the Nintendo cartridge, though, is actually pure magic.
Yes.
Alano, that was so great to hear. I love the idea that we're just feeling like, right, Claire, that we're just entitled. We're just like, yeah, of course there's going to be a new iPhone next year. Not thinking like, why is there going to be a new iPhone? What have they been doing? We're just like, well, I know there's going to be new things. We're so entitled. You're right. I love bringing back to like, this is not a given. This is a joy. This is something to be celebrated.
Well, and implying that in all fields, like in the medical field, perfect example, you know?
I just think about all those kids.
Be thankful.
I was growing up, obviously, without the ability of AR, VR, and I've, you know, you open up your social studies books and they tell you about the Louvre. They tell you about, you know, what statue, what this, Greek mythology, all these things, places, the Eiffel Tower, all this stuff. And then now you could just put on glasses and go there. Like, that is cool, guys. Like, why are we acting like that's not? I spent 2 months while we were shooting, on and off, obviously, going to the International Space Station. You know, just in VR, because I wanted to learn more about it. I was writing something, so I wanted to learn more about the space, and then having to move my, you know, your body can't grab things. You know, all of that is kind of cool. Bumping into boxes and, you know, don't want to die. And like all these things that it added to the space and floating out into space and seeing how far I can go. Can I be melted by the sun? I'm trying to try it all. And that's actually really cool. You can't do that. You know, 30 years ago, like, come on, guys, why do you not think this is magic? Like, it's pure magic, and it's only going to get better graphics wise and in being able to be more tactile.
People are scared, man. People are scared, but you are not, and that's beautiful.
Run towards your fears.
Alano, this has been a pleasure. We end every podcast with a love letter. I feel like you've been already going. I feel like this whole podcast has been a love letter in the best possible way to the future of technology. But if you could still do us the honor, dear future of technology.
I will say this. What a time to be alive. Because the opportunities are pretty much endless. And if we can find a balance where we can invest in each other and explore technology, we can build a protopia society. One where we can live not harmoniously, because, you know, that's just not a thing. But one where we can survive and learn and explore and create and build and possibly have a better balance in our own life and our families' lives. And that, to me, is what technology has the possibility of doing. So we can stop using it for the negative things and use it for what it's actually there for. I think we could really do some amazing things in the future.
Signed, Alano Horatio Miller.
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe. Guadalupe. Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
May the force be with you. By the way, Alano, fun fact, are the grandest of grand poobahs here at Roddenberry Entertainment. Rod Roddenberry himself has this to say about himself. Most people like the cutting edge of tech. I like the bleeding edge. And I feel like you would be right alongside with them.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm probably the only liberal Jewish millennial that you know who gets the Wall Street Journal. Thank you, father-in-law. And I genuinely enjoy it. And I was reading this morning a whole bio piece because Michael Dell has apparently a biography that is coming out. And
this is shocking.
And his very first computer was an Apple, like an Apple II. And the first thing he did was he bought it and opened it up. And I immediately thought of what Alana was saying that. And I think that was really creepy that I read about it the exact same day someone else just was talking to us about he bought it.
What do you think they're trying to find in the soul of their computer? Are they trying to find the soul? What are they trying to find? Because, like,
it's a puzzle piece.
Opening it up, it's interesting. It is a puzzle piece, but it's more than that. It's almost like they're trying to see how the computer differs from the human mind. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. But especially at a young age, you know?
Well, I don't. For me, I think there's two types of people in the world. tell me if I'm being a little too narrow-minded. I think there's people who are like, oh, I like that. Let's just watch TV. And then there's some people who buy the TV and go, yeah, let me open up this TV. I want to know why this works. How does TV happen? And I'm definitely one of the people who's like, oh, fun, pretty thing. I don't need to know why. I constantly look up at skyscrapers and go, how did that get built? But I think clearly Alano is one of those guys who just needs to know the why. Why does this thing work? It's amazing. What a marvelous thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and like he says, he likes to be, he's looking into the future. He's looking at what happens next. It, you know, growing up in Ohio, and I've talked about that before on this show, it really reminded me of the one community that does not utilize technology because they believe that their religion will be compromised and their morals and their values, which is clearly the Amish community.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting that they've been able to preserve sort of, I don't know if you want to say preserve, but I guess preserve their lifestyles without technology, and what a difference the last, you know, specifically 30 years have made in the way the Amish live versus the way the English, which is what they call the outside world.
And they make great pretzels, Claire.
Is that your takeaway from this?
My takeaway is that when you don't have to be stuck behind a computer all day, you can make a bona fide great hard pretzel. And I'm thankful for the Amish for that. That's what I grew up with in Lancaster in Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, it's interesting because who needs to be stuck behind a computer all day? What jobs mandate that we're stuck behind a computer all day? Is the job mandating that, or is society mandating that? What is coming first? You know, we talked a lot about the implementation of Zoom since the pandemic. That is something that has now become like office standard protocol versus coming in person. And we're at a point with vaccinations where we could come in person. We could be meeting in person more and more often, you know? However, the technology seems to have dictated that or determined that not necessary.
And here we are behind our computers, looking at each other, doing our thing. It's a remarkable thing. Very meta, very metaverse. We're bringing it in before Facebook's even doing it.
You know, that's another word that is really interesting, metaverse. There is no accepted definition of metaverse. I mean, the Facebook already is a metaverse. You know, they own Instagram. They own WhatsApp. They own, you know, they're integrated with Shopify. There's so much data collection and data storage from the consumer that, I mean, that Mark Zuckerberg saying he's trying to create a metaverse, that it's already there. There's no discussion. So I don't know. I think that a big part of today's conversation with Alano for me was looking at like the definitions of things. You know, I grew up in the 70s, 80s, where interestingly enough, we weren't looking to put labels and define as much as now I feel in, you know, this in the 2000s and last decade. And it's just, I don't know. I felt like today it was like understanding what defines technology and the uses and like even categorizing it. I think that would be really helpful as a society to break it down into different sectors, you know, and then each sector sort of has its own set of like mission statement, if you will. I don't know. I'm going way too deep, David. I got to go out and like have some coffee and talk about this with you because the show's got to end eventually.
We'll eat a hard pretzel together and we're gonna hash this out. We're gonna figure out the future of tech together. I'll text Alano. We'll put on a group text solves everything.
Not today.
Speaking of defining, I would define this conversation as a hell of a good one. Guys, thanks for listening. All right, before you guys go, we got more Dexter goodness next week. Yes. Dexter's boss himself, Fred Jr., Michael Cyril Creighton. You know him from Spotlight, The Post, High Maintenance, Dash and Lily. Of course, Only Murders in the Building on Hulu and Game Night. And of course, Dexter Newblood. And you're going to know him even more for his deep love of Madeline Kahn. Yes, the great Madeline Kahn, a comedian of comedians. Enjoy next week's episode. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Technology.
Oh, can't you see?
Technology.
For you and me.
Technology.
Oh, Lordy B.
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.